Bibles this evening. Would you turn with me to Genesis chapter 4. We'll be looking today at the risk of transparency. Some material originally from a Ben Burks. Truth is tonight, the risk of transparency. Genesis chapter 4 this evening, if you've found your place there. Genesis chapter 4 verse 1. And we're going to read the first 8 verses. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the first things of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. The Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Today we're going to be talking in this as God is questioning Cain and dealing with transparency. And if someone's really having struggles in their life, one of the things that they need is transparency. But transparency is a very fearful thing. To be transparent with someone, you can be transparent with the right person or the wrong person. And the choice you make will have ramifications. And so I'm going to look at this idea of transparency this evening. And just a little bit of aside from what we were doing there in 1 Peter. We'll come back to that, Lord willing, next week. But just the thought of this and moving forward, having an honest attitude and finding what we need in the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes we need others to walk with us in our journey to recovery or reconciliation. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the fact that, Lord, you pursue us. Lord, you do ask the hard questions. Lord, you challenge us. And so, Lord, I pray this evening that you would help us to be open, to be transparent. And Father, to find the answers that you want us to have. Or the answers that we may have in our life, and we're just searching for meaning, searching for just wisdom. And so, Father, I pray that you give that this evening, that you give the comfort and encouragement that only you can give. Lord, I submit this time to you. I do need your help. I need your strength. I love you, and I thank you for all that you'll do. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. An individual that is struggling, maybe in an addiction, and in their addiction, when they begin to experience a breakthrough and a change in their behavior, that breakthrough comes because of transparency. Now, what is transparency? In a definition, the state or property of a body by which it suffers rays of light to pass through it, so that objects can be distinctly seen through it, or diaphaneity. This is a property of glass, water, and air, which when clear, admits the free passage of light. Take my glass here, if it were clear, and I can see through it somewhat. But, you know, clear glass, I can see all the way through it, and I can see on the other side. Now, obviously, we understand there's refractions and all sorts of things like that. We're not talking about that. But an open and honest attitude and respect to my life will allow others to see Christ in me. When a individual in their life says, I have nothing to hide from you, my life is an open book, can you help me? It is then and only then that they can begin to see changes written in their life. If you were to do any counseling or discipleship with those who are struggling, it is this transparency that is necessary for there to be advances. The raw material. You see, when the Samaritan woman, Jesus at the well with her, she goes, the man I'm with is not my husband. I've had 5 husbands, and the man I'm currently with isn't my husband. And Jesus said, you have rightly said. She was very open and transparent. She was right about what she was saying. She was right about her condition, right about her life, And Jesus said, you know, and then she goes back to the folks in the city and said, this man told me everything I've ever done. But she found a relief. She found what she was desiring ultimately in her soul. She found the Messiah. And she found forgiveness of sins. But it came because of a transparency to be open with He who was the Son of God. When God here is asking Cain the question, why is thy countenance fallen? Cain is angry and miserable. And he asks him, why art thou wroth and why is thy countenance fallen here in verse 6? Have you ever had someone, you come up to them and you ask them, how's your day going? Ah, you know, you're like, whoa, it's not a very friendly countenance. And God comes, and you have a friend, and I had the gentleman that was my best man in our wedding, and he would ask me those questions from time to time. He knew my countenance. Sometimes I felt like I wore my emotions on my shoulders, on my sleeves. And he would ask me, because my countenance would evidence what was going on, some internal struggles, and he would ask me these questions. And I hated it when he did it, but I knew that when he was asking these questions, because he legitimately wanted to be a help and a blessing. And so God is asking Cain here, essentially, why won't you look at me? Many Christians are suffering in their Christian life because they lack transparency. If I let them know who I really am, it's a scary thing. You know what? Within Christian circles and churches, many times we feel a pressure to conform to some outward appearance. I need to look the part of a good Christian. I need to look the part of a churchgoer. I need to look the part, you know, when you can be having, I remember growing up and, you know, there's times, you know, even in our lives, you know, we could be having a disagreement. You get to church and it's a smile. Well, that's not, you're obviously not showing some sort of, you're feeling the pressure that I have to show the part that I'm some great Christian. And the only person you're fooling is yourself. People may feel that they have to fit into the mold or I'm not accepted. If you really knew my struggles. But true biblical churches level this playing field. It's not playing a church part. Jesus, as he would hang out with, you know, he would have supper with those who were, you know, the glutton and the prostitute and the drunkard and others. Jesus was with those who knew they had a problem. And they were open about it because it was pretty public. Who was it that had the most problems? It was the religious people, the religious Pharisees and those that tried to hide what was already wicked in their hearts. You know when that woman was caught in adultery and Jesus put on the ground and began to write some things? Man, when we get to heaven, I want to replay that reel. I want to know what he wrote on the ground. Because maybe he was writing out the sins in the heart of these religious people. I don't know for sure. But it would be really cool to see what he wrote and just see the Bible in all of its historical ways. One Christian says it does no good to learn to conform by performing. That's oftentimes how we live our Christian lives, by performing. You don't want to let someone down, so you put on a facade, you put on some mirage or some mask that everything's good. I was commenting to my wife as we were over there in Alberta. I said, it seems like a lot of young people, they don't have to wear these masks, but they're still wearing the masks. Because maybe they don't feel comfortable with their face, so the mask gives them an opportunity to cover up a face that they don't like. When a person is transparent, it makes it much easier for another person to follow. The more honesty there is, the less sin there is. When we put on an air of falsehood, it opens a breeding ground for darkness in our hearts that manifests in very dangerous sin. I remember a time in my life where there was a particular thing I was struggling with. And I wanted victory. Oh, I wanted victory. But you know what? When I had a good friend of mine, a gentleman that was my best man, His name is Pat Zandi. He's now with the Lord in heaven. He died of cancer back in 2017, 2016, something like that. And I went to him and I said, listen, I'm struggling in this particular area. I need your help. He didn't say, oh, wow, you're not the Christian I thought you were. You know, we think we're going to get like kicked out and blasted and everything else. You know, Satan brings these awful thoughts in our minds. In Zechariah chapter 1 verse 4, be ye not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings, but they did not hear nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. You know what? Satan thrives in the darkness. Satan thrives in the lack of transparency. You know what? I got victory in that particular area of my life when I told a friend of mine. I had some accountability. Problem went away. The Bible is clear that only the truth can make you free. In John 8:31 and 32, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. People who become transparent with God and their Christian leadership unlock a tremendous power. A power of a transparent life. And as I said, Christian leadership, someone that is godly, and Jesus can be clearly seen through them. Great results happen when brand new Christians learn their truth and when older, maybe more mature Christians become transparent again. Open, honest attitude of truth and respect, and families put back together, marriages restored, many of life's circumstances are victorious rather than tragic when we become transparent. And everyone is transparent to someone. Everyone is open and hides nothing from someone. It is noticed that those who have the most baggage, who tend to be the hardest to unravel, are those who were transparent with the wrong person. You began to open up to someone you thought was a close friend, only to have them just throw that knife deep into your gut. Judges chapter 14, verses 8 and 9, about Samson. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. He had killed a lion with his bare hands. And he took thereof in his hands, and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So he ends up, he would tell his wife, but he didn't tell his parents where he got it. He wasn't supposed to eat any honey from any dead, out of any dead thing, as a part of the Nazarite vow. Additionally, with Delilah, he goes in unto her, this harlot, and has relations with her. And she says, oh, Samson, tell me your secret of your strength. And so he tells her something, and it's wrong. She presses him again and begins to nag daily. And it vexed him all to death, as Judges 16:16. And finally, on the fourth time, he tells her the secret. It was the secret that would be his undoing. He was transparent with the wrong person. David was transparent with Bathsheba, but not with Nathan, the prophet, the man of God. David had openly committed adultery with Bathsheba and then had her husband killed. Remember, Nathan comes to him and, you know, talks about the guy with one sheep that was his pet, and then this rich man kills this pet. And, you know, David had not been truthful with Nathan. We find in 2 Samuel chapter 11, it talks about David arose from his bed and went to the rooftop. There's a lot more I could say on this, but nevertheless, he asks about Bathsheba. His servants tell him, she is Uriah's wife. He says, bring her to me. So he does, and they have immorality and a child results. David, the great psalmist, who would write Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, at a few places in his life where he was a dirty rascal. In 2 Samuel 12:12, Nathan the prophet tells him, "For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." There was a site a number of years ago, Ashley Madison or something like that. I can't remember. Basically, it was a site, I guess, that married guys or guys would go on to be very vile and immoral. But when hackers came in, they revealed all these names. "Be sure your sin will find you out." One of them was part of that large family. I can't remember what they were, 19 kids or something. Some large family. One of the sons of this large family was involved in this very inappropriate, immoral website. Some people, like a critic, is one who is transparent with man when he should have been transparent with God. A hypocrite is one who is transparent with the wrong crowd, but not the right crowd. An adulterer is one who is transparent with a mistress when it should have been his wife. A disloyal employee is transparent with other people who are disgruntled, but not with his boss. A liar is the only one who is transparent with no one but even himself. Heartbreak comes when you rob your transparency from the right authority and give it to the wrong ones. One Baptist preacher noticed that the ones with the most baggage can be traced all the way back to not being transparent in their relationship with their fathers. This is what one pastor noticed. But nevertheless, he says, listen, you're transparent with the wrong person, and it produces some lifelong hurts. Transparency's delight is if we're going to be honest and write an honest story and have any conclusions that will honor the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be honest. We have to factor in the dark side. We have to pretend. You know, we can't pretend that that chapter was not a part of my life. There are some things in our lives that we've done, you're like, I wish I would have never done that. But when I take possession of those things in the past that I wish I would have never done, and I begin to deal with them in a biblical way, I free myself from the pressure of trying to be someone that I'm not. And a weight is lifted off of you. You may ask yourself these questions. Am I leading a life of integrity, of transparency? Am I owning my own story in life, or am I pretending to be someone else? Am I stuck in a chapter of unforgiveness? Am I in self-denial? Some questions. We need to answer those for ourselves. But when you will come with honesty and make a commitment to a new life and begin a new chapter, a new journey of faith, you become transparent. You begin to see God in a fresh new light that causes beautiful reflections for others to see. There was a song many, many years ago, not an appropriate song, but it's, you know, the Gambler. And it tells a story of a late night meeting on a train bound for nowhere between this gentleman or this guy and an unnamed old man known as the Gambler. The Gambler says that he can tell this man is down on his luck or out of his aces by the look of his eyes and offer him advice in exchange for his last swallow of alcohol. After the Gambler takes the drink and a cigarette, he gives the following advice. You may be able to fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't ever fool all the people all of the time. The advice certainly will not work for internal changes that are obviously needed. There's nothing as fulfilling as a person who lives transparently before God and others. Many times people think they can protect themselves from hurt by keeping others out of their life. They're afraid to risk being transparent. So they live their lives trying to fool others. I've got this wall, and this is what I believe everyone sees, this wall. Within this wall, there's someone totally different. And as we have this in our life, we try to protect ourselves and keep others out. Afraid of the risk of being transparent. Trying to fool others. The fact is, we trap ourselves in a world of loneliness, fear, anger, worry, despair, and even depression. And the world would receive that song with accolades about the gambler, even consider it as sound advice. But its truths had lasting and devastating results. But it is this attitude, much like Cain would have as God is speaking to him. Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? Cain doesn't want to be transparent with God. And it is this attitude of a lack of transparency that infiltrates both inside and outside of a local church. 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Fear is not of God. God says, "I've given you a spirit of love, a sound mind." God's desire, what is the two great commandments? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength and mind. What is God's desire? He wants us to intimately connect with Him. In an intimacy, there is transparency. Out of this intimate relationship, His love drives out all fear because I know Him. I'm able to have a healthy relationship with others. Most of us are not secure in an intimate relationship with God, therefore we fear transparency. Transparency requires that I remove a mask and I reveal to others who I really am. And get beyond the surface of really what is going on in your heart. As I had stated earlier, in this transparency defined as, you know, this diaphaneity, is this, you know, the light going through an object. Many Christians are suffering in their Christian life. They have hurts, they have pains, they have struggles, they have sins, and they really want victory. And they're trying to do it all on their own. And so they hide. And they mask. And they try to do a lot of things. I'll show you this part. But you can't see inside those walls. Because if you see inside those walls who I really am, you won't like me. You won't like the raw material, as I had said earlier. And as God asked him here, "Why is thy countenance fallen?" We fear transparency, and sometimes people will say things like, "If you knew me, if you really knew me, you wouldn't like me. You'd reject me. And since I'm afraid of rejection, I can't really get close to you or let you get close to me. If I'm transparent and share my intimate thoughts and ideas, who I really am, you're going to reject me. And this rejection will crush me, so I can't really let you get close. I can't let you get close to me, or I can't get close to you." I have been transparent and shared my intimate thoughts before. I've trusted others. And I was burned, hurt, betrayed, and humiliated. So I won't get close to you or let you get close to me. And many times with transparency rejected, you don't get past your past. There's barriers in their lives because of past pain, and the pain is real. As I said, there's a wall. A wall around your heart, and that's the shell. And only so far will you allow someone to get close to you. I'm going to keep you at a safe distance. Because if I keep you at a safe distance, you'll get just enough of me to like me, and that's enough. As long as you like me, I'm okay with that. Because if you get any closer, I don't feel safe. When I'm transparent and when I'm close to people, I don't want to get hurt again. I'll never let it happen. I'll just make it on my own. But before we look at how we can overcome these barriers to transparency, we must first look at how these barriers can harm us. When God created Adam, He decided He would be better with a helpmeet. From Adam, He, God, made woman Eve. He gave them complete rule. Look with me at Genesis 1:28 if you're still there in Genesis. He gave them complete rule in the garden and designed them to be intimate with Him and with each other. In verse 28 of Genesis 1, Let's look at verse 26. It gives you a little bit of context here. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And then look with me at verse 24. God's design. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. He's talking about, you know, in this, they're coming together and they're leaving their home and they're coming together in marriage. But as he deals with this, God gives the rules and the boundaries for it, his design. But there's the barrier to transparency can do two things for us. Number one, a barrier to transparency, it can make us distant. I'm going to keep you at arm's length. I don't want to get hurt. Look with me, Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. And the Lord, so Adam and Eve, they've eaten of the fruit. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. What happened with this transparency? Adam says, I've really blown it. And he did. So he's hiding from God. He's created this barrier. This barrier creates a distance. So this barrier to transparency can keep people that we want away from us. Keep them at a safe distance. I'm not going to get hurt again. I'm not going to feel that pain again. The second thing it can do is it can make us defensive. Look with me at verse 11 and 12. Verse 10, he said, verse 10, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Verse 11, he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. So the first one, it causes you distance. The second thing, you become defensive. It's everybody else's fault. You play the blame game. God, it's the woman you gave me. So he blames his wife and he's blaming God on the woman that he was given. And we do that from time to time. And Eve would say it's the devil's fault. It's the serpent's fault. He beguiled me. He deceived me. So the barrier to transparency makes us defensive. What they should have done is said, God, I really blew it. How often do you hear, even, you know, like a little kid or even when we're older or someone at work, it's not my fault. I didn't do it. It's your fault. I wouldn't have done it had you not, you know, I wouldn't have hit you had you not said that to me. If only you were different. Or how about another statement? You always do this. You never do that. It's all your fault. And the defensive ways can go on. This whole blame game, it starts in the Garden of Eden with sin. Adam blamed Eve, Eve blamed the snake. And the snake didn't have a leg to stand on, right? But we've been covering up, lying and denying ever since. So this barriers of transparency causes us to be distant and we lack true fellowship. And it also causes us to be defensive, which again creates a barrier, which creates some distance. Now, how do we overcome this? Two ways. First, we need to take a prayerful relational risk for a transparent relational return. You don't take random haphazard risks. Prayerful. Ask God, if you're really struggling in a particular area, you really pray about it and say, God, to whom can I be open with? You know what some of the deepest and greatest relationships They come because of transparency. It will take risk in order for genuine transparency to be achieved. You cannot be in control and have true transparency. You cannot have the upper hand and achieve true transparency. You can't have an ace up your sleeve and achieve true transparency. Take a prayerful risk. And when we risk, we are vulnerable. And that is the most fearful thing, to be vulnerable, because when I'm vulnerable, I'm out of control. I'm not in control of what happens. I could be hurt. And for many, for them, what they would state is a gamble or something that they cannot afford to take. Some of you have relationships, but you're not being transparent in those relationships. You need to remove the mask and let others see what's going on in your heart. This is who I am. This is my heart. These are my fears. These are my hesitations. You could be even saying, I trust you to love me as I am. That vulnerability is so absolutely fearful. Because if you knew who I am, and in our own mind, in our own skewed view of life, we say, you're not going to like me. Without being vulnerable, we don't have anything that is real. A relationship that is built on lies or lack of transparency will not be a deep relationship. It will not be an abiding, close relationship. You know, often, I wonder, you think even, I don't even keep up with it anymore. I used to more often, but, you know, the Hollywood actors and actresses, they get married and they're divorced and they get married, or they're in this relationship and this relationship, you know. It's all about them. And I'm like, are they ever transparent with one another? So the first way is a prayerful relational risk. You ask God, Lord, I'm really struggling and I need to open up, but I don't know who. Would you help me? The second way to overcome the barriers of transparency is we must find our security, our acceptance, and our identity in our relationship with Christ. An individual would ask Jesus Christ at one time, you know, what's the most important of everything? What's important in Matthew 22:37? Look with me here. Jesus replies in verse 37 of Matthew 22, Jesus said to him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. There's a vulnerability there. And with all thy soul, with all thy mind, there's absolute, complete, and utter transparency. If I'm going to be intimate with the Lord, it begins in my heart. But oftentimes we lack the relationship with Him because we refuse to give Him the key to our hearts. Somebody hurt me, and God, I don't care if it's you or I don't care if it's anyone else, you're not getting the key to my heart. And as a result, people live lonely lives. They'll hear what others God may be doing in their lives, but it's not happening to them. You know what? God's offering the same thing to you as He is to others. And it begins when He asks for the key to our heart and unlocks the secret chambers, revealing to us in Him those things that nobody else would dare get even a glimpse of in their life. When we get caught, our heart may cry out, you know, in our lonely life, you know, to others, you only know the half of it. And that's true. You may not accept yourself, but you need to find your security in Christ. Find your identity in Christ. We cannot have true transparency with others. And that is one of the biggest problems in friendships today. Relationships. You may criticize yourself. And you can convince yourself that everyone's criticizing you. You don't trust yourself. If you don't trust yourself, we're not going to trust anyone else. If we consistently criticize ourselves, we'll be convinced that everyone else is criticizing us. This whole perfectionist attitude, if I mess up and I get so angry at myself, then everybody else is making fun of me, when that's not the truth. If we don't trust ourselves, we're not going to trust anyone else. But I need to find my security, my acceptance, and my identity in Christ alone. I want you to think about this. You're secure in Christ, and I am as well. I am free forever from condemnation. Look with me in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans chapter 7 is the Apostle Paul showing some transparency in the fact that he says, listen, I'm struggling with some sin in my life. I want to do right, and I find when I want to do right, I'm not doing right. When I don't want to do a particular sin, I find myself doing it, and there's this struggle. And then in chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Listen to this. You're not in condemnation. I'm free from this condemnation. I'm protected. I cannot be separated from the love of God. I am a citizen of heaven. I am born of God. The evil one cannot touch me for eternity. I am God's child. I have been bought with a price. I belong to God. I'm a saint. I'm the salt. I'm the light of this earth. I'm a personal witness of Christ. I am a new creation. I'm God's co-worker. And I'm God's workmanship. When I look at who I am in light of Christ and light of God, not how I see myself behind my untransparent walls, you know what? The more security you find in Christ, you have a willingness to be transparent. You have a greater willingness to be transparent. Maybe some of you today are thinking of yourself, I lack transparency. My marriage isn't where it needs to be. I've lost trust. I'm afraid. And I don't have great Christian friends. I need to take a prayerful relational risk. Maybe for others it could be with the relationship you have and a loved one, and before you go to bed tonight, you say, let's do business, let's be real. You know, if an individual, a husband or a wife, are cheating on their spouse or cheating on a loved one, and they're not being faithful, you know what they need to do? They need to be open and honest. To hide it only produces greater hurt. Some, it might be, reaching out to a godly friend. Some, it might be reaching out, to myself or someone like that. You take a prayerful risk when God leads you, and you will see God's ultimate return. It can be risky. Could you get hurt? Yeah, you could. But it is more dangerous to not take the risk. If an individual is in a sin, for instance, as I said, an adulterer, right? They're cheating on their spouse and they're cheating and they're not doing right and they're saying, I can't tell them, I've got to hide it. And their conscience is just like, turning and burning inside of them, and they're so uncomfortable. But yet they're drawn towards this immoral affair. And they, they think, if I tell my loved one, if I tell my spouse about this, they're going to hate me. They're going to leave me. I'm going to lose everything. And your mind just goes wild. You know what? If you come in honesty and say, listen, I've blown it. I'm so sorry. Will you forgive me? Make a commitment to take the risk and be transparent. In that song, the gambler mentions that the secret to surviving is knowing what to throw away, what to keep, and that the best you can hope for is to die in your sleep. And the gambler goes to sleep at this point. Some people find this as this man finding an ace he could keep and then dying, but some Christians will go to their grave, never knowing the abundant life. Because they weren't willing to follow the biblical advice to replace fear with love. They weren't willing to be transparent. With God, you can lay everything on the line. Your greatest dreams, your hopes, your disappointments, you can just be transparent with Him. Why, God? Why? Why did this happen? The Psalms are over and over again a record of David being transparent with God. Listen, the enemies are overtaking me. There needs to be a risk to be transparent. The greatest need is to be connected spiritually to God and become His child, as the Bible speaks about. The adoption of a person into the family of God occurs through transparency. You know, all we need to understand the mistakes and injustices that you and I have committed is against others, both in our thoughts and our actions. But they're not only against others, but they're also an offense against God Himself, the Creator. In Romans 3:10, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You've got to be transparent with God for salvation. You've got to say, God, I'm a wretch. I deserve hell. You don't have to literally say those words, but that has to be in your heart. When you come to God for salvation, it's transparency. God, I'm guilty. I'm guilty as charged, and I deserve hell. Our wrongs, the Bible calls sins, will be judged, and there is death today because of sin. But the solution is Jesus Christ. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Jesus would pay the penalty for all of our wickedness. Romans 5:10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. You've got to be transparent in what is known as repentance. It means I agree with God. It's a change of mind. I agree with God. I'm open. I just say, God, I am a sinner and I'm guilty and I deserve Your wrath and judgment. It's kind of like, the cookie jar, and you put your hand in it and you steal a cookie when you shouldn't, and the jar falls over and it crashes and boom, and you run to your room and you throw the cookie away and you begin to play with your toys, and maybe mom or dad, they say, hey, who broke the cookie jar? Maybe they call several of the children out and, I didn't, I was playing. You know what? There's a conscience that God put within us. It tells us when you're guilty. You got to say, you know what? Finally, you'll eventually maybe tell mom or dad or whomever, you were living with as a child and say, it was me. It was me. You know what? When you begin to say, I'm sorry, and you open up, you know what happens? It's just like your conscience just begins to rest. And over again, there's things in my life God will say, you need to ask for forgiveness for this. You need to do this. You need to do this. You did wrong here. And it might have been years before, but in my heart, God's just pricking me saying, hey, you need to do right. And so I've got to be transparent with some individuals, maybe in the past. And it bothers me because I'm just thinking about all these things. But you know when I obey what God is putting on my heart? It's like my conscience rests because I've done right. I'm understanding my condition. And I'm changing my mind. And in salvation, a person is changing their mind about who I am. I'm not a good person. I could be religious. I could do all this stuff. But you know, before God, we're all wicked, vile sinners. And I'm changing my mind about who I am. And I agree with God in my transparency and ask Him to forgive me. You know what He does? Get out of here, you filthy scoundrel! That's not what He does. Man, I thought you were a better person than that. That's not what God does. What He does? He stamps in the book of life my name. And He calls me my child. Got to be transparent with God in relationship with Him. For an individual to be saved is Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, the same Lord over all, is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You got to realize you need to be saved. There's a transparency there. Proverbs 28:13 says, turn with me here, Proverbs 28:13, and I'll draw this to a close here shortly. Proverbs 28:13, the risk of transparency. You're going to keep a distance? Are you going to be defensive? Or are you just going to prayerfully say, Lord, I need to be transparent. Would you help me? Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You know what we need? We just need transparency. Stop trying to play the part of the good old Christian, the good churchgoer. And be who God wants us to be. Because I connect with Him. We shouldn't be a different person here than we are at home. Who you are here is who you should be at home. Because to be otherwise is to show our hypocrisy. The risk of transparency is God would ask, you know, Cain, why are you so angry? Why is your countenance fallen? But my brother, your God, you're giving him all. You know, again, he's this defensiveness. Rather than God, I'm sorry. I've given you the wrong sacrifice. God, I haven't done it your way. The risk of transparency demands a vulnerability. You need to be vulnerable to the Lord and, you know, and even potentially to someone else. And you just ask God, who should I invest my heart in? I could get hurt. Relationships take risk. Close relationship. True friendships take risk. And it ought to be a place where there's a willingness to be vulnerable. And I'm not talking with everyone, are you open maybe about certain things? And I'm not talking about like a priest where you come and, you know, you try to do the confession. I'm not talking about that either. But I am talking about a risk, you know, for someone maybe you're struggling in your life in a particular area, really pray, God, to whom should I reach out to help in transparency, to find the victory that only you can give. It's okay to ask for help. Ask God who to lead you to, if that is the case in your heart, so that you can find the healing that only God can give. And you know what? If they're a true Christian, if they really love Christ, if they walk with God, if they reveal something and you're like, you know what? They're going to say, you know what? It's all washed under the blood. I remember a story, or this a couple years ago, we had a there's an individual in the hospital that I met, and this particular individual was there, and given them the gospel, and they knelt down and they began confessing some sins, and I was like, "Oh my!" You know. But when that individual got up, they had freedom. Because they had been transparent with Christ. And they openly admitted it with us, you know, myself in the room. And I was just like, but you know what? I rejoiced because I was like, praise God. They've made it right with the one they need to make it right. The vulnerability brought that gentleman freedom. And many times we want freedom, but we don't know how to get it. And it starts with transparency. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, no music this evening, I just want to challenge your heart in a time of quietness before the Lord. And however God may have spoken to your heart this evening, but I do trust that number one, you'd be transparent with God and seek a relationship with Him. Number two, if there are those walls up in your life, that you'd be willing to be put those down. Rather than Adam hiding it or at a distance or defensive, you just put those